Good evening. Let's start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this evening. I thank you for the opportunity to share your word. Thank you for these that has come out tonight. And Lord, I pray that you bless their lives for doing so. And I pray that your name would be magnified and everything said and done here tonight. It's in your name I pray. Amen. I'd like to start out tonight with recognizing a couple of people that are dear friends of mine. Jennifer Williams and Chip Woods, they're sitting right back here. I used to work with them. All three of us, thank the Lord, are now retired. And, you know, the Lord's been good to us, and he's been faithful. And I'd like to take a little bit of time and talk about these two and what they meant to me during my time at Halliburton. And how the life that they live fits in with what I'll speak about tonight. Chip, I've known of Chip for quite some time. He used to work with my wife at another facility in Halliburton. But what was it, Chip? 10 or 12 years ago, you came to manufacturing? He came to manufacturing and worked in the same area I did. And I could tell right quick around Chip that he loved people and that he was concerned about people. He was the first one that when something tragic happened in somebody's life that he was going around and taking up money or getting a card signed or something to send to the family. And that always meant a lot to me, you know, because in today's world, people don't care. But Chip did. And then there's Jennifer. I've known Jennifer and her husband over 40 years. I never had the opportunity until the last two and a half years of my career at Halliburton to work around Jennifer. And it didn't take me long to figure out, working around Jennifer, she loved the Lord. And one of the things that I miss most, that's probably the only thing I miss about Halliburton, to be honest about it, is the time that me and her got to spend together those 2 years. We held church lots of times, cutting open boxes on the receiving dock. We talked about how God was moving in our lives, in our family's life. We got to share with some of the people we worked with. And the main thing about Jennifer was, when I'd get in the flesh, which was pretty regular, she'd keep me in line. And she'd tell me to remember, you know, what we're there for. Anyway, I just want to take that time, a little bit of time, and talk about them. And here in a little bit, I think you will see from what they meant, what I see in their lives, what will come true in the scripture that I'm going to read tonight. But right now, I'd like to take a little bit of time to tell you, since we've been in this COVID virus environment, one of the things that I miss is congregational singing and our choir. And understand part of that's coming back next week. And, you know, that's a way for us that sits in the pews to worship the Lord. And I miss that. But also, not only here should we worship the Lord, driving down the road, listening to the radio, you know, watching TV, whatever, we need to worship the Lord. And it's not just through song. It's through words and through deeds that we can worship the Lord. But with that being said, this has been on my heart. And I'm so thankful that we are fixing to start congregational singing again. But I just wanted to talk about this a little bit tonight before I get into my main topic. And I really feel that I've struggled with doing this tonight, but I feel like it needs to be said and done. But in Luke 19:38-40, this is where Jesus is riding on the donkey coming into Jerusalem. And his disciples are expounding with loud voices. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. And then some of the Pharisees from the crowd told him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And he answered, this is Jesus' answer, "I tell you, if they were to keep silent, the stones would cry out." And, you know, I think about that. This virus has silenced us to an extent. But apparently the stones are not crying out, so somebody's praising the Lord, and I pray that we'll continue to praise the Lord. And I've got a song here. I know y'all don't want me to sing it. I wished I could sing it. But this song, I was saved November 12th, 1978. This group and this lead singer on this was real popular back then, and this song was popular. I bought the album, if you know what an album is, and I wore that thing out listening to this. The name of it is Praise the Lord. It's by the Imperials, if you ever remember the Imperials. Russ Taff was the one that sang this. Listen to the words. When you're up against a struggle that shatters all your dreams, and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested schemes, and you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fear, don't let the faith you're standing in to seem to disappear. Praise the Lord. He will work through those who praise Him. Praise the Lord, for our God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord, for the chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they drop powerlessly behind you when you praise the Lord. Now, Satan is a liar, and he wants to make us think that we are paupers when he knows himself we're children of the King. So lift up your mighty shield of faith, for the battle must be won. We know that Jesus Christ is risen, and the work's already done. Praise the Lord. He will work through those who praise Him. Praise the Lord, for our God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord, for the chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they drop powerless behind you when you praise Him. That song always meant a lot to me. I think it's very important to praise the Lord. That's just a free bit for y'all tonight, and now I'll get into the sermon. I'm going to be speaking out of Luke 22, verse 54 through 62. And I've titled this, Peter, Defeat to Victory. Luke 22:54. They seized him. This is Jesus that they've seized. They seized him, led him away, and brought him into the high priest's house. Meanwhile, Peter was following at a distance. They lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together. And Peter sat among them. When the servant saw him sitting in the firelight and looked closely at him, she said, "This man was with him too." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him." After a little while, someone else saw him and said, "You're one of them too." "Man, I am not," Peter said. About an hour later, another kept insisting, "This man was certainly with him, since he's also a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Immediately, while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed. Then the Lord turned and looked at Peter. So Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. You know, Peter's one of my favorite persons in the Bible because he reminds me of myself. Not that I'm half the man Peter was, but that he done some of the things that I wish I could have done. I've thought about when he walked with Jesus, you know, and I don't know if y'all ever thought about this. I've thought about it from time to time. How neat would it be to have lived when Jesus lived? But there's about three things that I see in this scripture that I read tonight that Peter did. One, he followed at a distance. He wasn't right there with Jesus. He followed at a distance. Two, he was with a crowd that wasn't of like faith. He was with a rough crowd, a crowd that was not believers. And then he denied Christ. You know, but Peter was the one that he walked on the water. He had enough faith in the Lord that he asked him to walk on the water, and he walked on the water. Peter's the one that when Jesus was washing the disciples' feet, that he said, "No, not just my feet, my whole body." Because he wanted all of Jesus that he could get. And Peter's the one that in death said that he couldn't be crucified the same way his Lord was. He was crucified upside down. I say all that to say this. He had Jesus there with him. And I've thought, you know, through the years, I thought, man, it'd be neat to have lived when Jesus lived. But if you think about it, it's just like your dad or your mom. When you was a child and you had them right there and they was where you could see them, you minded them. You stayed in line. You walked the straight and narrow. But as soon as you got away from them, 9 times out of 10, you was doing what you wanted to do or what the flesh wanted to do. That's the same way with this time, with him being in the presence of Jesus. They had Jesus there, but they could turn their eyes away from Jesus. And as we'll see here in a minute, you know, the Holy Spirit's a powerful and a great thing. And I really think, in one respect, we're more fortunate to have the Holy Spirit. Now, and I know that sounds sort of weird. I don't mean it that it's not good to have Jesus, because it is good to have Jesus, but I'm talking that in our walk, the Holy Spirit tugs at our heart, tells us when we're doing wrong, and keeps us on the straight and narrow. And if you're truly born again, then when the Holy Spirit convicts you, you won't be able to sleep, eat, or drink, or whatever, until you're right with the Lord. Now, that was Peter's defeat. Now I want to go to his victory. I'm going to Acts chapter 4, verse 1 through 14, to set the table a little bit. In chapter 3, Peter and John was going into the temple. There was a beggar that was carried there every morning or every day at the temple gate to beg for money or whatever he could get, food or whatever. And as Peter and John were walking into the temple, he asked them, you know, for some money or something. And Peter told him, said he didn't have any gold to give him, but what he had to give him was eternal. And he told this man to get up and walk. That's through the Holy Spirit. He spoke with boldness. He was able to heal this man. This man got up and walked. Now, I'll read Acts 4, 1 through 14, and talk about this situation. Now, as they were speaking to the people, the priest, the commander of the temple guard, and the Sadducees confronted them. This is Peter and John that are speaking in the temple. Because they were provoked that they were teaching the people and proclaiming in the person of Jesus the resurrection from the dead. So they seized them and put them in custody until the next day, since it was already evening. But many of those who heard the message believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. The next day, their rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Ananias the high priest, Sapphias, John, and Alexander, and all the members of the high priestly family. After they had Peter and John stand before them, they asked the question, "By what power or in what name have you done this?" And then Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit and said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today about the good deed done to this disabled man, by what means he was healed, let it be known to all of you and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, whom you crucified and whom God raised from dead, by him, this man standing here before you healthy, this Jesus is a stone despised by you builders who has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved." When they observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated, untrained men, they were amazed and knew that they had been with Jesus. And since they saw the man who had been healed standing with them, they had nothing to say in response. There's two main points out of this scripture here that are, well, actually three. Peter being filled with the Holy Spirit and him speaking with boldness. Back in the other scripture, he had taken his eyes off of Jesus. He had drifted. He was following at a distance. He was running with the wrong crowd. And he had failed. He went out and wept bitterly. But here he's bold. He's full of the Holy Spirit. He's seen this man healed. He's seen 5,000 come to the Lord. And then they make the statement that there's salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved, and that's the name of Jesus. And then the thing that has stuck with me, and that I want in my life, and that I hope that you want in yours, and that what I seen in those two people back there that I worked with, is what they said about Peter and John. It said they were amazed and knew that they'd been with Jesus. God help us to go through life and to set the example and to live the life that people won't be around us very long until they know that we've been with Jesus. I just wanted to share those verses with you and what it meant to me and how we need to live our life daily in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, and to a point of where people know that we've been with Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for this evening. I pray for these words, for the Holy Scripture that's been read tonight. And Lord, I've put it out there the best I know how. If for nobody else, it's to speak to me. Lord, I pray that you'd move. I pray that you'd fill us with your Spirit. And I pray that every day that we live, everywhere that we go, that we would live in a manner and in a way that people would know that we've been with Jesus. Lord, I just thank you for your love. I thank you for your hand of mercy and grace. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here tonight that needs to make a decision, or if there's someone here tonight that just needs to come and pray, spend time with you, Lord, I pray that they do it. And Lord, just take this time and honor it for your name and for your glory. For it's in your name I pray.